Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, everybody, it's another beautiful post-Labor Day afternoon here in Colorado. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with John Lott Jr., national expert on guns and crime. I'm allowed to talk to him about there's another school shooting today, once again at a school where they didn't allow teachers to have guns. He can talk about that. He can talk about the FBI trying to hide statistics on how armed civilians help prevent crimes. But also, I want to get into this whole Venezuelan, Denver-Zuela thing going on here in Colorado.
That's imaginary, Julie.
It's imaginary. We're just imagining it. We're just
Absolutely.
Imagining it. But first, I want to talk about, and Chuck was there and voted a great weekend. Dave Williams is the real and the only chair of the Colorado Republican Party, in spite of what you might hear in the legacy and the Anschutz media industrial complex.
Well, it was a great meeting. There were enormous amount of people there. It had way above the one-third quorum, which the other meeting didn't have. They don't care. They don't pay any attention to that. And it was, you know, they urged people if they disagreed to get up and disagree, and some did. But overwhelmingly, Dave got 191.5 votes because they have partial voting, but not starting next year. And they had... I think 10 for the opposing ones. Now, the prior one didn't have a quorum, but it did have an overwhelming one with 10 people voting the other way, though not anywhere near as great as the valid one on Saturday. You read nothing of that in the Anschutz Treaty, nothing of that in the Real Clear Politics type of, well, not Real Clear, Complete Colorado, and all of the left-wing or the politically correct views. So it was a tremendous meeting, a great sense of camaraderie. Dave barred the press, which just pissed them off to no end. Just no, what do you mean? We're the fair press. We're the press. All of which had been, you know, tools of Eli Bremer.
It's kind of funny. I do want to point out, and Dave's not the only one doing this, so that they hate the Denver Post now hates CU because Deion Sanders wouldn't take a question from their reporter. He was like, why do you hate us here? Why do you even come to these events? But here's, because I thought, you know what, the former reporter and me thought, okay, let's just set the facts out straight and then we can kind of get into what we think, because there was so much literal disinformation coming out from the other side and parroted in the liberal media and the Anschutz media industrial complex. So Dave Williams was voted chair of the Colorado Republican Party back in March. Anna Ferguson, Secretary Hope Shuppelman, vice chair. Ever since then, the rhinos in the establishment elite have been doing everything they possibly can to fight the Republican Party, to fight Dave. And as we talked about in our last show, it's not just going on in Colorado. It's across the country. The establishment elite uniparty want to crush the grassroots and the MAGA movement. Now, they can't crush Donald Trump, so they're trying to crush it sort of state by state at the local county.
Michigan is another perfect example.
Exactly. And so that's what's going on here. So Raider Todd Watkins, who was sour grapes because he didn't get elected chair, basically just launched a meeting. And first the judge told them they couldn't have it. Then the judge said, okay, I don't have jurisdiction, so don't call me. I'll call you. And so Todd went ahead and set up a meeting. At that meeting, there's some 400 plus state central committee members. In order to have a quorum, in order to do official business, you have to have a certain percentage of those, a certain number of those people and or their proxies there.
No, You have to have
Of physical people there, right? And so at Trader Todd's meeting a couple of weeks ago, they didn't have that number. So, of course, they just adopted the Democrat rules and they changed the rules.
Right.
And they said, the rules are whatever number of people we have here is the exact number that we need to have.
Right.
Voila. I mean, it's fun how that works. And so they did it. They had a meeting and they overwhelmingly ousted Dave, Hope, and Anna. And voted in Eli Bremmer, who has now been running around the state calling himself the chair of the Republican
But
Party.
you really want to get to Todd Watkins and really piss him off. Just keep on referring to everything as Eli Bremmer.
Oh,
So no more Todd Watkins, no more Trader Todd. It's all Eli
It's all Eli
Bremmer.
Bremmer,
And Todd is off on the sideline. You don't
he's
have to
down.
worry
Well,
about him. It's all Eli Bremmer. So when you talk about him, it's talking about Eli Bremmer, and Todd will turn again to get more
So,
attention.
more factual information, the Colorado Republican Party parliamentarian, the Republican National Committee's parliamentarian looked at everything, determined that Eli's fake meeting was indeed
Eli.
illegitimate. Therefore, any action taken is null and void. Meanwhile, the meeting that was held by the State Central Committee on Saturday in Castle Rock was, they ruled, properly called. It was a legal meeting, and therefore any voter action taken was legal. So the reality of the situation is that taking whoever were for out of it is you now have two segments, I guess I would say, of the Colorado Republican Party, each claiming to be in charge. The Eli Bremmer wing and
Which
Eli
is the moderates, which is
funded
the
by Americans for
rhinos,
Prosperity, KBB, Advance
KBB,
Colorado,
Advance Colorado, the whole
Barb
spiel.
Kirkmeyer, the ones who hate grassroots, they
Yep.
hate caucus. But anyway, they're claiming it. In the meantime, Dave says, no, I'm the chair. As well as Imer brilliantly pointed out, according to the Republican National Committee, Dave is still the chair. Eli, the only person who recognizes Eli as the chair is Eli. And any, of his minions and sycophants, right? So what is the situation now? So you have these two factions. Both of them have asked the courts to intervene. Eli's basically asked the court to say, to declare his meeting legitimate, and therefore he's the
And
chair.
that Dave, Anna, and Hope are liable to them by parading as the
Right.
real ones.
Right, exactly. Meanwhile, Dave has and the Colorado The official Colorado Republican Party has also asked the court to essentially look into it and to rule in their favor. So the bottom line is, though, so not both sides have done that, right? So the accurate factual-based thing is you have two sides each claiming to be the legitimate chair of the Colorado Republican Party. Both sides have asked the court to intervene. Eli keeps insinuating that somehow the RNC is going to rule in his favor. Well, again, the fact is the Republican National Committee parliamentarian already determined that Eli's meeting was illegitimate. Nonetheless, you can look at Michigan to see what would happen if somebody does take it up to the RNC. In Michigan, there was a similar kind of thing where they voted the chair out. But it was different in Michigan because I think the meeting was a legitimate meeting, and you have had the courts uphold that. And so the RNC went ahead and recognized the coup person,
Well,
right?
what it really
But
did,
yeah,
yeah.
explain it. But
Well,
it wasn't a
one, you have
clear.
to realize that the Colorado Republican Party is an unincorporated association, associated with unincorporated association of people. So it is not a sub corporation or sub association of the National Republican Party. It has no control over that, and they've recognized that.
Right.
They said, "We really don't have authority. We have authority. We elect." A national committee woman and a national committee man, and they have some control over that, but of nothing else, unless they change their mind and say they do, which of course can be challenged in court.
Right.
So it's a
And in the end, so anybody who says, oh, the RNC is going to rule in my favor, frankly, on either side, I guess, is we don't know, right? Anyone who says, oh, the court's going to rule in my favor, bottom line there, we don't know. The court could, as it already has, said that it doesn't have jurisdiction. Okay, the RNC could say, we're not going to touch this. What you have is, so we have a Colorado Republican committee woman who is Christy Fedora, who is part of the Pueblo Republican Party mafia, who hates Dave and wants to get rid of Dave. Then you have Randy Corcoran, who is a grassroots patriot from the word go,
Right.
right, and has always supported Dave. So even there, if you're the RNC, so now we're going to get into what we think. Okay, so that's the facts. Personally, I don't think the RNC is going to get into this. I think right now they've got an election to win, and frankly, Colorado doesn't matter that much overall to them.
Well, if we had the Trump
Justin Everett.
Justin Everett come up and say, oh no. Trump hasn't given up on Colorado. He's never going to visit Colorado. He's not going to, you can't even have a yard sign because, quote unquote, yard signs don't work. But he's all for everybody. And so you're all set. But here's a nightmare scenario. So the courts say, no, we don't have jurisdiction. You have to do it yourself. So you come to the March meeting where you're supposed to elect all the people up and down.
Who runs a
Well, you
meeting?
could have two different ones of that too. And you could have two different groups forever claiming to be the Republican Party, which would be interesting. Now it'll all be taken care of if you go ranked choice voting because the parties
Yeah, that's a whole
disappear.
other thing, because yeah, that could all be moot. But here's the thing that I think that people need to understand. The Eli Bremmer establishment elite rhinos, this is what they want. They want chaos. They want Colorado to lose. Because otherwise, as we've said before, why not just wait, number one, until after the election? It's, in just a few weeks anymore, right? Ballots mailed out October 10th. So why not just wait a month and challenge Dave then if you don't like him? Or even more appropriately, why not just wait till March and elect a whole new chair, right? The reason they're doing this now is they cannot stand to have the America Great movement and the grassroots movement growing and having any support or anything in Colorado. If Trump wins, right, that's going to be great for the MAGA movement. So they need to create the chaos and the destruction before that. They need to make sure that Trump does. I mean, and these are Republicans, right? They don't care about the other down ballot candidates. This is causing, they say, I'm not so sure it does really. They say it's causing chaos for the other candidates. Well, they're the ones who created it, right? And so they don't care about those other candidates. They care about retaining power, and they care, and Americans for Prosperity care, and Advance Colorado and Phil Anschutz, they care about maintaining the establishment elite uniparty swamp power,
Yeah,
right? That's all they care about.
you get to vote for their candidates
Exactly.
and they'll put the money in.
Right.
If you don't put up their candidates, then they'll withdraw all money.
Right.
And then they won't have to say anything because money speaks louder than anything.
Right.
And so they know that, and that's their whole game. Okay, yeah, Eli, we'll give you all kinds of money, and the other group will just have to fend for itself, except the other group, which is us, have the people. And so it'll continue that way until, I suppose, Armageddon.
Well, hopefully not that long. But that's the thing to
Well,
under
how long do you think that is?
I wonder what, I guess in a way, that's what I was saying. I don't know where this goes, actually. And again, I think anyone who tells you they do is not looking sort of objectively at the facts of the situation. I know where I hope it goes, and I know where I think it's going to go, but it is exactly as you said. The other side, the Uniparty elite side, they have the money, right? And so, I mean, somebody's paying Chris Murray, who's an $800 attorney who's representing Eli Bremmer.
And it isn't Eli Bremmer.
Isn't Eli Bremmer? No. I mean, somebody's paying KBB to get out there and manipulate and be the worm tongue whispering
Somebody
in everybody's
is
ears.
funding Advance Colorado, and we also had a John Kildare editorial, going, "Oh, the Republican Party sucks." Like he always does, say, "You made it suck, John. You were there for the last 20 years while it got sucky, and you did nothing about it."
These guys had actually won any elections, but this is the same group that's driven the Colorado Republican Party in the dirt. And keep in mind, just like Mitch McConnell, they like it there. They like it there because they and their consultants can play shell games with whatever donor money there is and with whatever money you
They
contribute.
can buy all the consultants they need, the Josh Penry and
They just shuffle the money around. They could care less if they win, right? And candidates have no choice because that's who it is. And once again, the candidates are establishment candidates. They don't care if they win either, right? It's all just a power play for them, right? And I don't even know what, and the power play for this little teeny bit of power in Colorado for the grassroots, there's a little bit more at stake. We're actually like, oh, trying to save the country and trying to save the state.
Right.
So we peskily will not just go quietly away. And as you said, there are more of us than there are of them. That's what they really hate. If Dave Williams had not been successful, right? If he had not been successfully kind of raising issues that mattered to people, if he had not been sort of reaching out in ways that the establishment elite did not, if he was not being successful, they would have just let him go until March and then they would have voted him out, right? The fact that he and President Trump and the MAGA movement is being successful and is continuing to be successful is freaking them out. And like a cornered, desperate animal, they're slashing and trashing, and they don't care what they destroy as long as they can try to get them out of power. But like you said, the problem they have is there are too many of us, right? And I would just say one other thing too. I think, and I go with the conservative treehouse on here, you don't let this get you discouraged because that's what they want. They want people to say, oh, the Republican Party is so screwed up. I don't even want to hear about it anymore. That's what they want. And that's what they're counting on. What we need to do, and the time now is to say, we care about our country. We care about our state. We care about our county. We care about the Colorado Republican Party and the influence that it can have to make America great again. And just don't listen to them. So, people say, oh, Eli Brunner is saying this and saying that. So what? It'd be like I said, if our dog Tiger had a Twitter account and declared herself chair of the Republican Party, right? I mean, would anyone pay attention? No. I mean, only people who wanted to help destroy it, right? And it'd be as silly as saying, well, Tiger's the chair, and she could go on 710 KNUS and bark, and people would say, oh, see, we told you she knew what she was talking about. It's as much to do with reality as Eli Bremer, I think.
Well, what's amazing is the majority of Republicans went to the caucus, went to the meeting, SEC meeting, supporting Dave Williams, notwithstanding the fact that every major publication was all praising Eli Bremer, notwithstanding the fact that all the radio stations, all the Rhino stations from 710 to Ross Kaminsky to
Mandy
Mandy
Connell.
Connell and all the rest of them, all said, oh, Eli is great. Eli is, and the people said, screw you. You're not going to tell us what we think. And we know who you are and we know who pays you.
Right. Exactly. Well, and here, let me read, got some great comments. So Leo is saying, Chuck, you mean it's not true that Kamala Harris was appointed as a head of the Colorado Republican Party? That's next. And then Sandra, this is all initiated by Nancy Pelosi and Jeffco, correct? And Watkins took over. By the way, I like the article calling Eli Heli Bremer. Yeah, that's from Joe Altman. Well, again, keep in mind, Nancy initiated it, but Nancy didn't think it up by herself, right? These people have been approached and manipulated by the uniparty establishment elite. Then from Sandra, by the way, KBB's attorney license in California, not Colorado. I believe that's true, right? Let's see where we go. From Leo, question is, who do the Venezuelan gangs in Aurora Apartments recognize as the head of the condo? That is perfect, Leo, because we're going to get to that next. And that's true. But Leo, that's just your imagination. I'm sorry. Those are just newcomers.
Newcomers.
Those are newcomers.
And for you to identify them, we're all against gang violence.
Yeah.
But identify them as Venezuelan is racist and
Right.
homophobic or something.
And then Sandra says, and now with RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard supporting Trump, they're having a tizzy fit. Exactly. Okay. And then the other comments, you guys can read those yourself. So I think that the other side, and this is just what we need to realize, they're like the Democrats. They're not going to go
They're
away.
part of the uniparty.
They're part of the uniparty.
And we're better off, honestly, we're better off controlling one quarter of the state votes. The other 75% is the uniparty, because that's what it is. Except they've broken off a quarter plus or less from the Republican Party to go take over the Republican Party and then we can have fun. It's really, and of course, you've got all of the, almost all of them, congressional candidates siding with Eli. Well, good.
Well, now,
We won't
that's
vote for
wait a
you.
second. And why is that? Well, let's look at who supported the congressional candidates. Oh, Americans for Prosperity, the open borders, uniparty Americans for Prosperity. Let's take a little step back just a few months before that, when the Americans for Prosperity, Jeff Crank, some of these congressional candidates. Who did they support for president? Nikki Haley, right? These people hated Donald Trump up until about March-ish, right? When they realized they were not going to beat Trump. So what did the Americans for Prosperity people do? They say, okay, fine. We'll let Trump get elected president. We are going to focus our efforts on the congressional races and elect people who can thwart whatever policies Trump wants to try to implement. So we will, I mean, we'll be sending the Mitch McConnells, we'll be sending the Liz Cheneys. That's who we're going to send to Congress. That's who they support. Gabe Evans, Jeff Hurd, Jeff Crank, not Lauren Boebert, but I mean, that's their candidate. So of course,
Steve Fabratore.
John Fabricatore.
John Fabratore.
I don't think he's getting much help from the Americans for Prosperity, but those are some of the battleground or the districts that they could win. And so they're the people who have come out against Dave are the people who are being paid for by Americans for Prosperity, who are the people who are funding this whole thing to get rid of grassroots in America. I mean, it's not that complicated, and yet they make it seem like, oh, well, all these people, it'd be like it's like if I'm standing there and handing out money and I say to you, okay, I'm going to give you $5, raise your hand and say, well, I vote for Julie, and I'm just standing there with more money. And then they say, who do you vote for? And you go, Julie. And everyone goes, oh, look, it's an organic, spontaneous grassroots movement. It's like, no,
Well,
it's
American
not.
Prosperity, then TV ads. Oh, we're all for Trump. We're all for conservative. You're also for open borders. You're for China and no tariffs and everything else. So, Charles Koch and his hideous group can do what they want. But.
Yeah, and I think Trump is just, and I don't blame him for this, just trying to get elected. So I think in the meantime, what we have to do is just not give up, to just not pay any attention. Let Eli Bremmer, like I said, wander around the state saying whatever he wants to say. Let, Mandy Connell, whoever, want to interview him and pretend like he's a party chair, or at least has a claim to the party chair, whatever, right? I think that what happened, and I know I've seen Darcy has been putting out emails. In the meantime, the Dave Williams, Hope Shuffleman, Anna Darcy, the real Colorado Republican Party has said, okay, that's done. Let's move forward now. And they're holding Zoom calls. They're doing everything they can to help candidates.
And they can forget about the congressional ones. They don't want, get Eli to help you.
Right.
Which
Well,
is really what happened. You have to understand this was a trial run for this was done in El Paso County.
right.
Eli and the others started a
A
fake,
fake El Paso
and
County Republican
they kept on
Party.
using the Republican name till they brought to court. So now they say they're peak Republican Party. And it's exactly the same. And then they won most of the primaries because it's got all the unaffiliated, and none of them got elected. And they said, oh, it's the regular party's fault. They didn't help us. It was them.
That's what they're going to do. They want to create and sow chaos. And so the best way to defeat them actually is to try to win as many seats as we can in November,
See.
which is going to be hard, and the legislature, I think they're what, maybe four or five seats that are maybe.
Well, they're one seat away from a supermajority where they can get rid of Tabor and everything
Right.
else. So.
Well, and then you want to briefly talk about, and we could talk about it a little bit later. Like I said, we have John Lott Jr. coming up, but this is where I think we really need to start first November for our candidates. But what we really have to work hard at doing between now and November is educating people about Prop 310. That's Kent Theory, the same guy who vote you brought you open primaries. He's a billionaire, and he and there is a whole cabal of other billionaires who are trying to take over the election system in the United States by changing again what the people who can't win fair and square do is they change the rules, right? So he has got an initiative in Colorado. I think it's in Colorado, Nevada, Oregon, Montana. Billionaires in other states have done the same thing to essentially get rid of parties in Colorado. Starting in 2026, if this passes, I mean, it needs 50% of the 50% plus of the vote to pass. You would have two things happen. Number one, you'd have a jungle primary. So there would be no anyone who
There'd
wanted
be
to
no
be
assemblies, there'd be no caucuses, there would be the just the rich guys putting
just
up their
a Yeah, it'd
candidates.
be a pay-to-play system. That's the only thing it would be. You would get on the ballot by declaring yourself on the ballot, right? And then it would just be one ballot. No par I guess it designate party, but one ballot with everybody's name on it. Okay. The top four vote getters which history shows us would be the top four funded campaigns,
Right,
right?
particularly Democrat
Particularly
campaigns.
Democrat candidates, exact, because they've got the money, right? The top four candidates would then go on the general election ballot. Then, to make things even worse, you would have the ranked choice voting. So you would rank the four in order of your preference,
Right.
right? And what they would do is, so then they'd see, and if somebody didn't clearly get 50% plus, they'd throw out the lowest vote getter, and then they'd
And they did
re-rate.
this in Alaska, and the Republican who was the leading candidate and would have won under a regular system lost, and the Democrat took over. Yahoo! I
Right.
mean, Yahoo!
I mean, and in Alaska, there's a vote going on right now to repeal it because it
Oh, wouldn't
hasn't
that
worked.
be great?
Yeah.
That would be great.
So, and this is Dr. Dunn is absolutely right. The ballot initiatives are such that people won't, as usual, understand what they're a vote that they're voting for. Barney says, "I'm a little ashamed. Feel like I was so pissed at the GOP. Shove Cory Gardner down our throats, stapled, etc. I wanted to see it burn from the ground. Just saying, I was fed up." This is true. Yeah, I think
Well,
it's
luckily, Cory
John Bennett.
Gardner congratulated Eli Bremmer.
Yeah, exactly. But I think though that's the big fight. And sometimes I wonder if the Uniparty is hoping that we're all distracted by this other stuff that we don't pay attention to this.
Well, the Uniparty is, they control the state. They almost have a veto. Why mess it up? I mean, they're so dominant. Why in Alaska, Republicans controlled a lot, so perfectly messing it up. But here in Colorado, they're so dominant. Do you really want to change the system that you've rigged?
It's interesting, but here's the thing. So Kent Theory spent $2.5 million to get this initiative on the ballot in the first place, and I think it was just over the weekend that the Secretary of State certified they had the signatures. There are groups that are in opposition, and we'll look into that and see which ones. Sometimes this is just my personal skepticism. Sometimes I think groups see a hot issue that they think they're going to get people to donate to, so they create a group, and who knows how good or legitimate they are. So we'll try to see that. But so far, there isn't like anybody who has any money fighting this. My fear is that when you look at it, the kind of uninvolved voter, I mean, it's going to be like the open primary, right? It sounds good. Why not let everybody vote, right? So this too, it's like, let's get rid of those parties. They're so divisive and they're so, they're all messed up. Excuse me. Anyway, let's just get rid of them. And they don't understand that the only way you would get on the ballot then is if you were funded
Rich people.
by the rich people. And the only reason the rich people are funding you is because they want to get their rich people stuff passed,
Right.
right? You're not going to get residential home property tax
No.
reductions
No.
under ranked choice voting,
What
right?
we got to have a show, what a joke the special session was, and
Right.
how little homeowners got anything. And if you read the Denver Post, which of course is ridiculous, they're going, oh, the progressives are so upset that they gave up so much. I mean,
Like, well, I think in
farcical.
the Democrat Party, people are saying to the progressives, no one cares what you think. You're a legislator, right? You're just there to vote for what we tell you to vote for. Leo says, we need a vaccine that will prevent the Uniparty from spreading. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The trouble is, Leo, it doesn't spread. There's only like five of them, but they're like really, 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 really rich, right? And so, they find it. I mean, we talked about that in the Dave Williams race, right? I think that going in, with Jeff Hurd and CD5, people would have thought, I thought, and I think most people thought, Dave Williams probably had the popular advantage. And then Jeff Crank with Americans Prosperity literally outraised him like 5 to 1, right?
Well, it was interesting. No, 5 to 1.
Well, like 20 to 1, 20 to 1. You're
Twenty
right. Don't
to
make
one.
saying 5 to 1. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What they did is they had Americans Prosperity fund all of the positive Jeff Crank ones, and then it had these PACs, which all had lots of money in it from Americans Prosperity and others, and they did all the negative ads. And so Americans Prosperity go, "Who, us? Oh no, we didn't run those bad ads. No, we did the positive ads, everybody."
And these other PAC, we don't even know who they are, did the negative ads. But we did the research, and it's like literally like one time in the history of the universe, a candidate who was outspent 20 to 1-1. It's a weird fact of life, and you wish it weren't true, but whatever candidate, almost, I mean, like universally at almost any level from, dog catcher on up, the candidate that has, unless you're talking like presidential races where there's so much money, right? But in state races, the candidate with the most money almost always wins.
No, that's not exactly correct.
Okay.
What happens is if your if you are not able to raise as much money, your opponent, but you're raised significant amounts, at least compared to him, it's a 60-40 advantage. You can win a 60-40 advantage. But if it's 70-30, if it's 80-20, if it's 90-10, and in Williams' case, it was like 99-1,
Right.
no, you're not going to win. Because one, you can never, if you don't have any money, they can say whatever they want about
Right, and
you.
you can't
And you
counter it.
can't counter, and you can't say anything negative about your opponent because you have no money to get it out.
Right.
So it's
And it, you wish it weren't true, but it is true. And that's, again, that's why they're pushing this ranked choice voting. And again, and if it goes away, there won't be a party caucus, right? There won't be a party
And the
primary.
Democrats don't object that as much as because they have all these other groups, the SEIU, the
That'll fund
teachers
them,
unions,
right?
and everything else, or their own organizations. Republicans have no such organizations.
Right.
They're none. I mean,
So
there's
it
the
would
charter school
eliminate.
ones, which the rhinos tried to take over with Ready Colorado, but some gun groups, but of course they're always attacked.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing it would be that with the, if this goes through, and I just really fear because it sounds so good. It sounds like unicorn puppies and,
I don't think
lollipops,
it
right?
sounds quite as good. And I think it's been around long enough that people
You're
know
starting to get,
that.
you're right. I mean, I think it's interesting. What did I read? 85% of the cities, states, counties, whatever that have enacted it have repealed it
Right.
because it was such a mess and such chaos. And the results were completely screwed up because the results are then determined by algorithms, right?
Right.
Now, you don't even have to worry about, I mean, forget
Counting.
stupid ballot counting,
Yeah,
right?
just get the right
Just get the
algorithm.
right algorithm and your guy, and you can't disprove it, right? Because you're like, well, I mean, how would you even disprove it? It's like,
Well, if you
but
try to, you'd be in jail, like
right
Tina
in
Peters.
Colorado, exactly. Well, and in the meantime, what it has, as I understand it, on a, not even on occasion, frequently resulted in the least popular person actually winning,
Right.
right? Because more people voted for the number four guy to be the number four guy,
Right.
right? They disagreed about the number one and number two guy, but everyone's like, well, we all hate this guy, right? And
Oh, they all
boom.
love number four, number three or two, because he was such a bland nothing.
Right, exactly. Hey, and Doug, if you get a chance, if we could go ahead and call. Oh, we have Dr. Lott. I'm sorry, I missed that. Never mind. Dr. John Lott Jr. joining us on the show today. He's economist, an economist, world-recognized expert on gun and crimes. He's with crimeresearch.org, has a numerous great articles out. So first off, Dr. Lott, thank you for your time. Welcome
Thanks for
back.
coming on.
Hi, good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Let me start off with, I mean, we want to get into, we have like Venezuelan gangs taking over in Colorado, and law enforcement telling us it's our imagination. We've got all kinds of things happening here, but there was another school shooting. I think four people killed, nine injured at a school about an hour outside of Atlanta. And you already have a column up noting that once again, this is at a school where teachers are not able to carry guns. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, this was another place where teachers were banned from having guns. Georgia is one of 20 states that allow teachers to carry guns. But the problem is, you have to have the school board approve it. And there's only been a few school districts in Georgia that have approved that. Obviously, in this case, there was a armed security officer that was there, a school resource officer. The thing is, when you're dealing with somebody who's in uniform and readily identifiable as going to be the only person with a gun, you give the attackers some real tactical advantages,
Right.
so they can look around to make sure that nobody, the person with the gun isn't around before they engage the attack, or they can move on to another part of the school to go and do the attack, or if they do the attack anyway at that place, the first person they can try to kill will be the school resource officer with the gun, because they know that once they take that person out, they'll have free reign. The advantage of concealed carry for the teachers is that you take away those tactical advantages. The attacker doesn't know who they have to worry about, who might be able to go and stop them. And if you're going to have a school resource officer, if you're going to have a police officer there working at the school, I have no problem with that. That's great. But what you have to do is you have to have them blend in so that they're not readily identifiable. You have to have them be, you know, a regular staff person at the school or something like that, so that you take away the tactical advantages that these killers have.
Well, also the school officers are human beings. We found out in a lot of school shootings, Uvalde and other ones, they're cowards at times too. And so they may not decide to go out there and fight somebody who has a semi-automatic and all they have is a Glock or something.
The problem that you have, they didn't have school resource officers at Uvalde. What happened is, you know, anybody, it's understandable, even though obviously their job criteria is different, to run into where a gun is. If you're a teacher, though, or somebody there, you don't have that option. You're already there at the school. If you're in a classroom or something and somebody is coming by, you know, you can try to hide behind the desk, I guess, but it's not going to do you much good. When you're having to somebody come at you, you have really no alternative but to go and try to protect yourself and others that are there.
Right. Well, one thing, too, I want to kind of jump a little bit forward, too, is you had another good column up before we get to the Venezuelan gangs. You had another good column up, I think, in the Federalist today, where you point out that if you're a person trying to get accurate information, number one, you don't want to ask Alexa, because who knows what you'll get there. But you said that there's clear evidence that the FBI and people are fiddling with statistics to try to make it appear as if like armed civilians don't ever have any kind of impact on stopping crime, right?
Right. Well, I mean, there are two cases that I talk about in the piece. One is the CDC a little while ago during the Biden administration took down the information that it had on defensive gun uses. At the encouragement of the Biden administration politicians, you had the gun control groups were put in touch with the head people at the Centers for Disease Control. And the gun control groups, like the Gun Violence Archive, complained that having the CDC have information up there about defensive gun uses made it more difficult for them to get the type of gun control legislation that they wanted passed. And then, as you say, there's also this issue with the FBI. I worked in the Department of Justice for a while in 2020 and 2021. And one of the assignments that I had was to go and look at these active shooting reports that the FBI puts out. It's used a lot by the media. It's used in courts. An active shooting case is an instance where a gun is fired in public, not part of some other crime like a robbery or a gang fight over drug turf. And it's anything from one person being shot at and missed all the way up to a mass public shooting. And over the 10 years from 2014 to 2023, the FBI claims that there's a little bit over 300 of those cases that occurred in the United States, and that only 4% of those involves somebody with a permanent concealed handgun stopping these attacks. When I was at the Department of Justice, and since then, I've been collecting these cases, and it's pretty clear to me that they're missing a huge number of cases, and nobody needs to take my word for this. On our website at crimeresearch.org, we've put together a list of these cases. The thing is, police departments don't collect this data. The FBI hired some people down at Texas State University to go through and do Google News searches, of all things, to try to find stories that fit this definition of active shooting cases. And I told them then when I was at the Department of Justice, and I've told them since then, that they're missing a huge number of cases. And the cases that they're missing are virtually always cases where somebody with a permanent concealed handgun stopped these active shooting cases. I think there's like 180 of them that they've missed. And rather than having it something like 4% of these active shooting cases were stopped by civilians legally carrying a concealed handgun, I think it's like 36%. But it's even worse than that. Because what the argument that I made to the FBI people was that data people was that, look, these are law-abiding citizens you're talking about stopping these attacks. And you can't expect a law-abiding person to carry a concealed handgun in a place where they're banned, these gun-free zones where they're banned from carrying. So if you just look at attacks that occur in places where people are legally allowed to carry a gun, over 50% of these active shooting cases were stopped. So that's a lot different than 4%. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, which kind of leads me into sort of the next area I want to talk to you about, which is your column up in Real Clear Politics. I mean, clearly, these are people who are putting politics above safety, above public safety.
No, no.
I know, that's shocking. And your column, you have, you know, law enforcement collapse, masks, rising crime rates. And I'm sure you've read, because it's been all over here in Colorado. We've had, like in many states and cities, you know, Venezuelan gangs have come here, right? Venezuela released them all out of prison. They come here and they've taken over apartment complexes. And there's video of it. And the everybody from the mayor of Aurora, who's kind of coming around, but governor of Colorado, liberal media organizations all say, oh, everybody's just racist. This is all overblown. It's just our imagination. And here, too, they would, rather than just go arrest these guys, right? Their pictures are on videotape. All they want to do is blame all the people who were talking about it. And I think that's going to be there, too, when you said that the collapse masks the crime rates. They want us to pretend that there aren't, the crime rates are fine. Anything else is just your imagination, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. We've heard many times over the last few months that crime is falling. And there have been a number of Democrats out there, during the Democratic National Convention and before and after, who have made the claim that crime has gone down during the Biden administration. And they make an explicit link to the illegal aliens. They'll go and say, look, you've had all these illegal aliens come into the country and crime is down. So it can't be illegal aliens committing crime. The problem is that either these guys just don't understand the crime data, or they're just lying. My own guess is they do understand the crime data. Look, there's two measures that we have of crime, or two main measures from the Department of Justice. One is the FBI data on crimes reported to police. Mm-hmm. And the other is something from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, also in the Department of Justice, which is called the National Crime Victimization Survey, which tries to get a handle on both reported and unreported crimes to police. It's a massive survey. I mean, normally people think of a big survey, a huge survey, as being 8,000 people or something, but this is a survey of 240,000 people that they do each year, and they've been doing this for 50 years. And normally in the past, before 2020, those two sets of numbers moved up and down together. Since 2020, they've been going in opposite directions every year. You look at 2022, for example, the last year that we have finalized data from both the FBI and the Bureau of Justice Statistics. While the FBI rate of reported violent crime fell by 2%, the Bureau of Justice Statistics data showed a 42% increase in total violent crime. So during the Trump administration, the Bureau of Justice Statistics data shows violent crime fell by 17%, and then it's gone up by 43% under the Biden administration. And there are several reasons for this and to be concerned about the accuracy of the FBI data. One is, you look at 2020, for example, 97% of police departments reported crime data to the FBI. 10% only partially reported it, but you had 97% at least report some data. But that's started falling dramatically in 2021 and 2022. In 2022, 31% of police departments were no longer reporting any crime data to the FBI.
Wow.
And 24% were only partially reporting data. So you had less than half of police departments in 2022 reporting complete crime data to the FBI. Now, they don't put down zeros for those numbers. They kind of guess. And I think they do a pretty bad job of guessing. So that's one problem. But I think there's a more major problem. Okay. And that's, I get at in the piece that you're talking about there. And that is law enforcement has collapsed in this country, particularly in large cities. You know, if you just want to take the FBI data, which a lot of the, you know, media and the Democrats want to do, in the 5 years before COVID, the average arrest rate for reported violent crimes was 44%. It started falling in 2020. And by 2022, the average arrest rate for reported violent crimes was 20%. That's over a 50% drop in 3 years. We've never seen such a drop before. We've never seen such incredibly low arrest rates for reported violent crimes. So that's reported violent crime. Now, not all arrests result in people being charged, let alone prosecuted or convicted. And if you break it down so that you're talking about arrests as a percentage of total violent crime in those cities,
right,
it's only about 8%. And for property crimes, the drop was even greater. You had about a 65% drop in the arrest rate for reported property crimes, down to about 4%. And only 1% of total property crimes resulted in arrest. So, you know, again, it's kind of hard to look at those numbers and not see law enforcement's collapsed. And here's the bottom line. And that is, if I tell you there's over a 50% drop in arrests for reported violent crime and a 65% drop in arrests for reported property crime, I assume you're not going to be too surprised if crime increases.
Yeah.
Just because, but people may be less likely to report crimes to the police. You know, one of the things that we know determines whether or not people report crimes to the police is whether they think anything's going to happen, whether they think the criminals are going to be caught and punished.
Right.
And if people don't think that that's going to happen, then what happens is that you can have reported crime go down, even though total crime has gone up.
Yeah. Well,
let me kind of give you an editorial by the Denver Post in the title. Editorial is violent Venezuelan gang taking over Aurora? There's no conspiracy to cover the activity of Venezuelan gang in Colorado. Which is, you know, not to worry. These you guys are just ridiculous.
It's your imagination.
It's your imagination. It's just, it's sad, of course, that you're such
a racist.
And then it goes on to say that, basically, I can't find the quote. I never can when I try to get it off the computer.
It says
Aurora is extremely diverse city of over 400,000 people. The video of armed men with semi-automatic and long guns and pistols in a hallway of an apartment complex and in robbing a jewelry store are unnerving, but they're unnerving regardless of who are, what the nationality or immigrant status of the violators. See, so you can say there's a problem with gang violence, but since all the newcomers are here, they're all Americans. So the idea that you identify them as Venezuelans is awful. It's racist. We just have to be against gang violence.
Well, and nowhere in there do they talk about arresting these people. I mean, and do you think, John, just sort of a final question because we have to let you go here. I mean, that becomes part of the problem, too. You've got the media, everybody, for whatever reason, is involved in trying to make us think that what we're experiencing is not happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I was referring to earlier, you see headlines after headlines that will say things like, crime is falling, but people erroneously think that it's increasing.
Yeah, no morons.
NPR and many other news sources will have those types of headlines. And I think it's for two reasons. One is they want to help out the Democrats because one of the big issues, obviously, the big issues are the economy and also crime. But crime is related to the surge of illegal aliens that we have had come in. And so they can kind of diffuse. So we see similar things with regard to the economy, that the economy is great, but people misleadingly think that it's not. And, you know, the media is just really in the tank for the Democrats on this stuff. I've had op-eds in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post and other places, hopefully just trying to make it so that they couldn't ignore the crime data that's out there. But, haven't been too successful in getting them to.
John, where can people see your works?
And get the data for themselves.
Well, they can go to our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. If you click on the link on our research, you'll go and you'll find all sorts of data that we have there and links to the underlying government data. If you go down the page a little bit further, you'll see all the different op-eds that we've written in the media places where we've gone and had links to the data and explained the stuff.
All right.
Well, great to have you, and we'll have you back again.
Yeah, thank you for keeping track of it for us.
We appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Sure, of course. Yes. Dr. John Lott Jr. there with crimeresearch.org. On Friday, that'll kind of wrap it up for us today on this Wednesday. On Friday, we're going to have, among other things, Carl Honegger on. He can talk about this Kent theory, ranked choice, voting, jungle primary, kind of help get that out. Because I think we're going to be flooded with reasons to vote, why to vote for it, of which there are none. So we want to get on that.
Yeah, he'll be great.
That's right. So anyway, thank you to everybody.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you all on Party Friday.
Take care.